Here, the old gods are dead.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiya, this is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Hi.
That one was moderately faggy.
You sounded cuter this time, which is another word for that.
So, anything fun happened to you this week?
Okay, there's a lot of things that I could talk about. I'm choosing one traumatic event that happened to me. So, I don't know if any...
I already know.
I don't know if any of yous have seen the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm a big believer that there's no such thing as a bad horror film, but this got pretty, pretty close. Like, I couldn't tell if it was satire or not. It was that bad. I couldn't tell if it was satire. Like, the whole...
Yeah, well...
I'm trying not to spoil it. Like, there's, like, an influencer kind of plotline, and there's a Tesla involved, and, like, all the young people in it are really fucking annoying. So it, like, kind of felt like it was written for, like, a millennial perspective about what Gen Z people are like. And as a Gen Z, it kind of annoyed me, because the characters just seemed really one-dimensional and annoying. But the only reason I decided to watch it, because I didn't even care that it was coming out, is because my pal, Jessica, who's getting named and shamed for this, texted me. And she was like, oh my god, your twin is in the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I was like, ooh, wow, a celebrity lookalike. Like, I already hear twins, so I assumed that they would look just like them. But Googled it, and I was like, Jessica, and no offence whatsoever to this actor or actress, this person, no offence, but like, fully, they're fugly. Like, no, you'd be paying or anything like that, but I was like, no, but like, objectively, like, I am hotter than that. Like,
no, well, and then, prior to my glow up, I can one up you on this, because prior to my glow up, someone once compared me to Shane Dawson. Oh. And when I tell you, I literally went home and cried, and I didn't want to go to school for days. Like, this sent me into a deep depression.
That would trigger some kind of disorder.
It's the worst thing any person has ever said to me to this day. And then one time I said something in a certain cadence, and Nereus said I sounded like Shane Dawson, and it, like, triggered me, this memory. And I actually, like, I had a visceral reaction to it. And he was like, are you mad at me? And I was like, yes. Yes. Why would you say that? But I digress.
She texted me, and she was like, no, you have to watch it. Like, you can't just look at the stills, like, watch it. So I watched it. This person... I'm so sorry, I feel so horrible just, like, bullying this person on me. It's not, like, we're famous anyway, but literally, like, the worst posture ever, and, like, very... literally was like, what the fuck? I was like, do you think I have social anxiety?
Maybe this was, like, a message from your friend to, like, do better. Maybe they were like... She needs to push in the right direction.
This person, this character, like, did not do their hair and, like, wore the worst possible clothes. They were the survivor girl, though, or the survivor person. I can't tell if this person was, like, non-binary or not. It wasn't explicitly said, but they were kind of coded like that.
This is the problem with millennials writing characters, because they're like, let's hint to this thing instead of just saying it. And then everyone is like, I mean, you don't need to like make it their main plot point, but it would be good to just make it known.
Yeah, like,
you
that's
know?
Like, I think it's because millennials grew up like watching like kind of like
Glee.
Well, like Glee, where the gay character, the main thing is that they're gay. So like it has...
They
so
were all like, minorities. Like, they were all in the Glee
so
Club.
So like when it comes to this new one, they're like, oh, we're just not going to explicitly say. And I'm like, no, but you could say, but like it could be normal. Like just make it normal. Like, I just watched Yellow Jackets. Very, very great series. I would recommend it to anybody if you like horror or thrillers or anything like that. But there's a character in that and she's a lesbian. It's not like central to her character at all. It's just like, oh, she's the lesbian. That's cool.
She's just a lesbian.
But she's also like a politician and a Capricorn. So much to be said.
Oh,
much to be said.
She's just like
me. She's just like
me. Anyway, speaking of Glee, I have been rewatching Glee recently. That's what I've been doing with my week. I've been in a very reclusive state of mind. That show. That show, I can't begin to explain. Like, I watch it so many times, and every time I rewatch it, I am shocked. Like, I'm genuinely shocked at like some of the things they got.
Like, I can remember, like, because it started in my first year in high school, and we were all obsessed with it. But like, I was not literate enough to understand like even half the jokes that were in Glee. And knew when I watch it, I'm like, this is the funniest thing that's ever aired.
Yeah, I don't even understand how someone could, especially Ryan Murphy, could come up with something like that. Like, it's insane. And the character of Sue Sylvester is one of the most well-written characters in any TV show I have ever seen.
I totally agree.
And it's so educational in the, like, I hate when people are like, this character is problematic. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to be laughing at the character, not with them. Like, that's like you're supposed to be laughing. Well, sometimes she says some homophobic things, and I'm like,
she's
allowed. I'm
T though. Like, if anybody wants any homework, go and watch Glee. Like, if you've never watched Glee before and you think it's shit, actually watch it, because it's like literally leaves every other comedy show in the mud.
It is also required reading for this podcast, because I will, like, my whole personality is like soaked in this show. Like, it's preparation for understanding me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend you'll understand a lot more of the references that are made on podcast.
I feel like a lot of people who listen to this podcast are queer women, so definitely they would have stuck around.
They've seen
they would have stuck around for a certain plotline.
They were fundamentally changed by seasons 2 onwards.
Me. I think we're talking about me right now.
Me too, I can't lie.
Do you have a mailbox moment that we really need to find a new name for? Because I am just written off Binchtopia.
Oh, I do.
Tell me a scary
story.
What
about like Spooky Hole? Let's go for Spooky Hole.
Oh, okay, I'll go for that.
So we have a Spooky Hole moment from Hazel Ray on Instagram and Callum in brackets. I think this is like a joint couples account.
Love.
The story goes, in Burnt Island, above a pub, a girl came home. The flat was dark and her roommate wasn't home. She dropped a camera and the flash went off and took a picture. She left to go out, and when she returns home, she noticed her roommate's not there. And she's reported the roommate missing and she's never seen again. After a year, the girl develops the camera, and the picture in the camera took shows her roommate with a man behind her covering her mouth. I'd like, that's it. Like, there's she's just missing to this day.
This is literally like 5 minutes down the road to me, and I've never heard of this. Is this like Burnt Island lore, like urban legend stuff?
Yeah. Anyway, I peed a little. This was so scary to me. Like, when I read this, I was like,
that's
never, well, never taking a selfie again. That's a lie.
Okay, listeners, if anybody can one up that, please send in your stories to Instagram, Twitter, or email us thequeerfoodpodcast@gmail.com and try and one up that, because currently she's winning.
Yeah, this is my favorite one so far. No offense to everyone else.
I feel like anytime I hear a scary story, though, I'm like,
This is the best story I've ever heard.
Literally, anybody tells me a ghost story, I'm like, oh my god. Speaking of, my sister, they always have like premonitions and dreams, and they often come true. And they messaged me the day, and they were like, "Oh, I had a dream that you bought a scratch card and you won loads of money. So obviously I bought like several lottery tickets." This is my gambling addiction confession.
It's all coming up, Milhouse. Imagine you didn't win. I'd be so mad at
Ali. I mean, mayhaps we'll like the podcast will blow up and we'll get like an ad deal or something, but money is coming my way. I truly believe.
Yeah, exactly. I believe that.
Speaking of spirits in homes.
That was good. We've done better, but it's better than last week.
We're going to be talking about a fae, finally, getting their own episode. So we're going to be talking about a house spirit. So we'll take a wee break, then we'll come back and I'll tell you all about a wee fae. This fae is a house spirit. House spirits are found in all cultures across the globe, but are most popular in the ancient pagan nations. So Scotland, Ireland, Sweden, Norway, Finland.
Lithuania.
Iceland as well. Like, Eastern Europe, right across to like Ireland and Iceland. There's two types of household deities which would be most familiar to me and you. The first being hearth goddesses, so like the Greek goddess Hestia or the Norse goddess Frigg, who watch over the home. Like if you were to give like a sacrifice or something to them, they would bless your home, that kind of thing.
Is she Thor's mum?
Yeah, I'm going to say
yes. Let's say yes.
And then the second household deity that would be familiar to us is a less powerful animistic deity that actually survived the Christianization of paganism and has been cemented in folklore. These are often small humanoid fairies that are said to protect the home or certain key members of the household. There's loads of different types of these in Ireland, Wales, England, across Eastern Europe, as I said, but the most common home fairy in Scottish folklore is known as the Brownie, or as I would say, and I think it's quite closer to the Gaelic pronunciation, I would call it a Brownie.
Yeah, like that's what I've always heard, Brownie, so let's just say that. Because Brownie is giving like girl guides.
Well, that's the thing. The Brownies, like, so if you didn't ken, there's a girl guide, kind of like Girl Scouts or Girl Guides in the UK. They're called Brownies and they're actually named after these wee helper spirits.
I was shocked because I came to that conclusion like 3 seconds ago and I was like, oh my God.
because when I was younger, I was just like, oh, they're called Brownies because they like brownies, like the chocolate treat.
Because they cook. Like, that's what I thought.
But no, it's because they're helpful and they help in the community. So they're called Brownies after this fairy. So Brownies, or Brownies, as I'm going to say, get their name for their brown hair and brown clothes, and they're typically depicted as tiny wee men, although there is one popular version, a girly brownie.
Material girl. She
Material
goes up.
Girl.
We'll get into it.
When I picture them, I typically picture Rumpelstiltskin, and I'm not actually wrong in picturing this, because Rumpelstiltskin is traditionally pictured as an imp or a household spirit, so he is actually really close to a brownie.
Yeah.
But also, when I picture Rumpelstiltskin, I fully mean, like, the Muppets Fairy Tales version where Gonzo plays him.
Oh, I think of the Shrek one.
Where he's
yassified.
I would recommend you can watch it on YouTube if you haven't. The Muppets Fairy Tales / Classic Theatre is on YouTube and it's like an hour and 15 minutes long and it's like the Muppets retelling popular fairy tales. Rumpelstiltskin one's really good. The Three Little Pigs one's absolutely camp masterpiece. Like, must watch.
That one is so good.
Like, it's actually so good. The songs bang. And I think there's the elves and the shoemaker, and because it's the Muppets and they're taking the piss, it's the Elvises and the shoemaker. So instead of making like normal shoes, they make blue suede shoes. It's so good. Anyway. So back to Brownies. Brownies in the Scottish Lowlands were often said to have no hidden noses, so there would just be a hole in the middle of their face where a nose should be. Very creepy. Who among us? Daniela Westbrook. Tease. Oh,
We're allowed to say that as people.
Yeah, we're allowed to say that. I love to keep her memory alive. Google Danielle Westbrook if you know who that is. And then in Aberdeen, Brunies are described as no hand any fingers or toes. I don't know how they would help her in the house.
Yeah, how would they hold a brush? I guess there's ways to overcome.
The whole deal with Brunies is that they help her in the house, like dusting, cleaning, stuff like that. They're often depicted as childlike, either naked or dressed in white tunics. If that sounds familiar to anybody, like a small household elf slave thing wearing a white tunic, does that seem familiar to anybody?
I don't know. I'm a big fan of seeing where people weren't creative enough to come up with their own ideas.
You'll see it again. Come up again. I think it's going to come up several times that J.K. Rowling doesn't care how to write her own material.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say her name because no free clout to transphobes, but redacted.
Not redacted. Fuck terps. So, Brunies, basically, they come at night and they perform various chores around the house or farm tasks, like I said. Members of the household would have to leave out a bowl of milk or cream and offering to the Brownie, usually left by the hearth. And I think this must be where the leaving milk and biscuits out for Santa thing comes from.
Yes, and there's another thing later on which I will get into. But there's a lot of Santa coding in Brownie culture.
So in 1703, John Brand, who was a Christian minister, wrote his description of a Brownie in Shetland. He says, "Not about 40 or 50 years ago, every family had a Brownie, which served them, to which they gave a sacrifice, as when they churned their milk, they took a part thereof and sprinkled it over every corner of the house for the Brownie's use. Likewise, when they brewed, they had a stone which they called a Brownie stain, which is like a kind of like a hag stone. It's a stone with a hole in the middle of it, but it's maybe a bit thicker. And they would fill it with wort. As disgusting as it sounds, it's kind of like, it's part of the production process of making whiskey or beer. So it's like...
Oh, it's kind of like
it's hoppy, kind of. It's kind of like marmite kind of stuff. It's a wee bit more liquidy than that,
like treacle-ish.
Yeah, but I'm assuming that these wee Brunies can still get drunk off of this. Brunies are easily offended, and they often feel insulted if they're taken advantage of. Basically, if a household's taking the piss and just taking advantage, they'll leave and they'll never come back.
Self-respecting queens, I love to see it. You don't often see that in folklore.
Brownie can also be driven away if somebody attempts to baptise him. They're often compared to the devil, especially like medieval depictions of the devil in Scotland were pretty like rotund and like small and dumpy, kind of like a Brownie. I don't know when we grew to doing that, but that's how the devil was depicted in Scotland in the medieval times, certainly.
Drag him.
Being fae, they're also quite mischievous and will pull pranks on lazy members of the house. And if angered, they'll turn malicious. So they'll kind of like, there's a lot of comparisons between Brunies and bogles, like tatty bogles or boogeymen. But sometimes there's variations where a Brownie is nice and they'll do things for the house and stuff like that. But if they turn angry, they'll immediately switch into a bogle. So like it's like interchangeable. Yeah.
Do you know what a nice Brownie is called?
Scott Brown.
That was good. That was quick. I'm proud. No, a nice Brownie is actually called a Dobby. Take from that what you will.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's spelled, fucking God.
It's spelled D-O-B-I-E. Creative names, strike again.
Sometimes giving the Brownie a name would be enough to drive them away. So I think, like, Rumpelstiltskin, like, as soon as you can his name, he disappears. So that's, I think that's, like, a pretty common thing, like, across, like, the elves and imps and different household spirits across Europe. They're all pretty similar. I do wonder how these stories travelled, though.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I couldn't find it. I was searching. I was, like, on Rumpelstiltskin, like, wiki, like, being like, what's the fucking source here? And it's French, so... I don't know. Obviously, giving them a name is enough to drive them away. There was a Brownie who haunted Almer Burn near Pitlochry, who was heard splashing and paddling in the water every night. And he'd go up to the nearby farm every night with wet feet. And if anything was untidy, he would put it in order. But if anything was tidy, he would hurl things around and make a mess. And he would do this with wet feet. The people of the area feared him, and they didn't want to go near the road leading up to the water at night. And a man returning to the market one night heard him splashing in the water and called out to him and addressed him by a nickname, Puddlefoot. And then Puddlefoot exclaimed in horror, "I've gotten a name. It's Puddlefoot they call me." And then he vanished, and he was never heard of again.
The original love. Do not perceive me. I love that.
So, speaking of J.K. Rowling, no having any original thoughts, if a brownie is getting an item of clothing, they will leave forever and refuse to work. But it's actually seen as an insult to give them clothing, so it isn't like they'll thank them and go, like what happens in a certain novel about a wizard. They'll actually get angry and leave.
Yeah. Wait, I would kind of react the same. Like, did you call me raggedy? Like, what's wrong with my clothes?
That's what they see it as. I don't know if when you were younger, you read the Spiderwick Chronicles.
Yes.
There is actually a Brownie, and he does go by, well, it's obviously Brownie because it's Americanized. But in that book, there is a house spirit who's a Brownie, and he's called Thimbletack. I was obsessed with these books when I was younger.
They were so good. They're really, like, they hold up.
I read them again, like a few years ago, and they're actually still good. The movie adaptation, however, that was made during the Bridge to Terabithia hype is shit. It's so bad. They like condensed five books into one film. It's so bad. But that's like a modern and very faithful representation of a Brownie.
Yeah.
And arguably a better series of books than one written by one particular ter.
Oh, I could give you a list of books better.
Like literally any book.
I mean, if you want like fantasy, like Percy Jackson is the go-to like starting point. Like it's the best one. It's the magnum opus. Anyway.
I'm going to talk about like certain things around the home that people use to like keep brownies around. So Ken, pot hooks that you use to hang pots in the kitchen or above the hearth in homes. These are actually called brownie sways or brownie seats. So sway is in seat. And because they're little hooks, it would be where they you would keep one free so the brownie could sit on it when it needed to take a break.
That's so cute.
I know. If the home didn't have pot hooks, they'd hang up a horseshoe. So then the brownie would be able to sit like in the dip in the horseshoe. So you would have somewhere to hang it.
They're
and
so little.
I know. If you remember our Scottish Superstitions episode, which I think is episode 3, horseshoes were a common way to ward off evil spirits because of the iron in the horseshoe. So which leads me to think that brownies aren't malicious or evil spirits and or fae whatsoever. They're actually really helpful. Unless insulted, then though. They won't even be evil. They'll just give you what you're due, basically.
Yeah. It's what you deserve.
That's a basic rundown of what brownies are. So, Liam, do you want to give me some stories about brownies?
Yes, I really do. Circling back to the girl boss in question.
Oh, the girly brownie.
Yeah, as you said, there's a femme boss brownie, and her name is Maggie Mullich, a.k.a. Whoa. Hairy Meg. And that is so insulting, actually. Like, imagine you were just living your life. You were a cleaner, you were cooking for people, and they just start calling you Hairy Meg. Like, not only this, she's like the most prevalent of the Brownie Fae folk in Scottish Highland mythology, and she's like 2 foot, and she usually carries out like the usual housework connected by a Brownie, and people just started calling her Hairy Meg just because of how she looks. Like,
why is it always Meg?
It's always Meg. It's kind of Family Guy coded in that they belittle the Megs in Scotland.
Oh, true.
Meg from Family Guy is actually the best modern representation of a Brownie in media. Anyway, our Meg, was a girl boss. And not only did she do the cooking, not only did she do the cleaning, the sweeping, but she was also blessed, booked, and busy. And she was the family banshee. And she would declare death of one of the family members. And the material girl, she would also teach battle strategies to the clan leader. she was
busy,
fully booked. But she was also in her Santa Claus bag because she would come down chimneys and steal children.
Oh.
Yeah, so like she was fine, but like we all have our demons. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of her though. Like I'm like, how was she doing all of these things? Like, good for her.
Capricorn.
Yeah. But she's 2 foot tall and a Capricorn, so she's kind of like you.
I knew. I was going to say, I knew.
Hairy. Anyway, fighter, cleaner, kidnapper, and also a mother. She loved her son so much, and his name was Brownie or Brownie Claude, which I love. I think it's so cute. but he was a Dobby. Dobbies are usually described as like slow to the uptake. Like they're not the smartest, the sharpest cross in the Bible. What's the sharpest tool in the shed? Is that it?
Yeah, that's the sharpest cross in the Bible. That's so brilliant, Liam.
I stole that from Easy A. Anyway, her son was in charge of guarding the local mill. Mm-hmm. And one night, a girl was baking a wedding cake and realized she would run out of flour. And she knew that the miller would be not in. And they knew that. And she knew that Claude would be guarding the mill. So she snuck in. And for some reason, while she was like grinding the flour, and I'm so impressed by this girl because she knew how to grind the flour, which I would not know how to do. She put on a pan of boiling water as she was doing this. I don't know why. Maybe that's something you need to do. Claude goes up to her and he says, "Who the fuck are you?" And she says, "I'm me," which I respect. Like, face card never declined. She said, "This faith is my ID." She said, "I am me." And Claude said, "No, but really, who are you?" And she said, "I'm me." So he was not happy with this audacity of her, because she did break and enter. So he starts to advance her, and he throws the pan of boiling water over him. And now, have you ever seen Sleepaway Camp?
Yeah.
I imagine the scene where the chef, like, the anyway, yeah. So if you haven't seen Sleepaway Camp, watch Sleepaway Camp, 1983. One of the best horror movies of all time. So camp. Sleepaway Camp, period. Eat shit and die, Ricky. That is one of the that's one of my favorite lines from TV ever, and it's from that film.
So does Dobby live?
No. So he runs to his mum, and she's like, "Look at how they massacred my boy," and she asks him, "Who did this to you?" And he said, "Me." So she's tricked, and she's like, "Oh my god, he poured boiling water over himself," and because he's like slow, she's like, I guess that checks out, and didn't question any further. But Miss Murderer, Miss Big for Her Boots McGee, she starts going around town bragging that she tricked not one, but two brunies. And she's like bragging to everyone. And then one day, Ermeg, she overhears this girl through a window, picks up a stool, throws it so hard that it kills her. So
the
twist and turns. This is like my favorite story of all time. I was like gasping every turn of reading this. Yeah, and so basically Maggie Mullick said, "Stay humble because you will get
or
clocked.
I'll throw the fucking steel cake."
Yeah, so that's how she becomes like the one who climbs down chimneys and steals kids. Before that, she was helpful. I just thought that was one of the most entertaining Scottish folklore tales I've ever heard.
No, that's peaking at episode 14.
Yeah, I don't think we can ever top that.
Basically, if anybody has an understanding of the fae court system in Scotland, you might be wondering why we haven't spoken about the Celia and Unsealia court systems, which is like two factions that all the Scottish fae are split into. That whole thing is like really, really involved, and it would involve like quite a lot of studying for both me and Liam. So we're probably going to do a two-parter about that in the future, like telling everybody what the Celia and Unsealia are, because again, that's like, it's really important to Scottish mythology and Scottish folklore. But I thought that like a wee household deity that everybody would find easy to understand would be a good way to like start us off and getting into the fae.
I agree.
Me and Liam also, like, because we fully believe in this.
Yeah, no, like, I leave coins and thimbles of water on my windowsill regularly, especially when we... No, because, like, when we started recording this episode, like, there was a period of time where my headphones cut back in, which never happens, like, this genuinely never happens. Like they turned off and on again on their own, and then the call dropped, and then, like, it just went crazy, like, just at the very start, and I was like...
I can't wait to see what the audio quality is like, because we fully believe like they, whenever we speak about them, play tricks on us.
Yeah, so, and like we're not trying to like annoy them. Like we respect.
So I would say that to anybody listening to this who's made it thus far. If you've listened to this whole thing and you want to show a wee bit of respect for your household deity, leave some coinage at the window, or if you're in your kitchen or your living room, leave a thimble of like milk out.
Leave like a window open.
Especially if you want to get in touch with like your paganistic Scottish fae roots and want to get more involved in folklore, like we 100% advocate for people doing stuff like this. Like smudging and everything's like really great as well, but definitely like doing more ritualistic things that are like in touch with your culture, I would definitely recommend doing that. So everybody get a wee thimble of water or Malkut and leave it for the wee brunies in your house. But I think it would be cool if more people did stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just fun to have a little ritual. Like,
yeah.
Even if you're like half invested in it, it's just fun.
So that's us for this episode. Remember to follow us on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod. And if you have any stories or anything to submit, you can do it via email to thecreepyweepodcast@gmail.com, or you can visit our website and submit a form on the Contact Us page. And we'll get an email that way. If you hear any stories, like urban legends, spooky stories that have happened to you, etc., etc., and we'll read them out. Okay.
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you in a quad? It's the way I need to do that just to like, because copyright.
I'll probably put it back in. Look, I'll be arsed. I'll take the hit. Okay, right. Bye.
Bye.